This is a Bit Seduce exclusive, the ultimate tracker for seduction and self-improvement, the number one resource for pickup artists.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Welcome to your Style Life Academy teleseminar hosted by StyleLife.com. Your host today will be the man who earned the title of number one PUA 3 years running, Neil Shouse, a.k.a. Style, the author of several popular, well-regarded books published on the topic of women, relationships, dating, pickup, and seduction. By speaking on this call or participating on this call in any way, you are agreeing to release all rights and grant permission to Style Life to use this recorded conference call or any part thereof for any purpose with no compensation due. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy headmaster, Neil Shouse, known to many of you simply as Style.
Let me welcome you to the Style Life special coaching conference call, and let me tell you what this is all about. I decided when I put the academy together that one thing I was going to do was try and work with guys like one-on-one and give them a little session at a time and see if we can get them past their sticking point by talking about it. And rather than just do it privately, I wanted to do it in front of all you guys so you guys could hear, help. I'm sure a lot of you are experiencing the same problem. Some of you may not be experiencing the same problems, but can get something useful out of seeing that someone is worse off than you, someone is better off than you, and I'm sure some of the advice is going to apply to you guys. Eventually, I'm going to try to get to as many of you as possible. So half our calls are going to be me, myself, or Diego, or one of the coaches, working directly one-on-one with guys. The other half of the calls are going to be really, really special stuff, because next call, if you guys want to stick around for this, next call, when I wrote the game, there's some people who were too scared to be in it, just a few people. And consequently, I either changed their names or made them composite characters. One of those guys is going to out himself on the next call. He's going to say who he really is. He's going to talk about the experiences. He's going to share some really, really cool stuff with you guys. So definitely, no matter what, make sure you're on the next call. It's going to be really, really amazing. This guy's a pretty interesting, pretty special guy. He's not one of the guys who everybody knows. So one of the things I wanted to do to you guys with the Style Life Academy, like the last call, is introduce you to all the top guys. So it's like one stop, and you can get everyone and everything you need, not just the guys who are in the game, other guys I met along the way, guys I've discovered since. So today we'll be working with four people. They're all at different skill levels. Before I start, I just want to let you guys who are speaking on the call know that by talking on the call, you are agreeing to be recorded, and you're voice may be distributed and used by any purpose whatsoever by Style Life with no recompense other than the joy of getting some hopefully amazing advice. Because obviously I have to share this with the guys who could make the call, who may be in Europe or Australia, well, and maybe it's Saturday night, and they would rather be out charging. And for those of you guys who are going to get out, go out and hit the field. Hopefully I can give you some inspiration today. So, next. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a hypnotist. But I am a guy who's probably experienced most of the problems that you guys have. I haven't experienced those problems. I've worked with guys who have over the course of many, many workshops and traveling the world. So I'm going to do my best to give you guys kind of what you need. And if anyone is kind of has their own thoughts, because I know when one hears people who need advice, and if you've been through this yourself or you have thoughts, one cool thing that we could start doing after the conference is you can hop onto the forum. There's a live chat feature in the forum now, so you guys can kind of talk and interact one-on-one. So if the four of you are on this call want to, hop in the forum or get on the live chat thing in the forum afterward, and maybe some other guys can share their own opinions with you. So without further ado, I got four of you on the line, correct? This could be fun if these guys aren't here. So I got four of you on the line, hopefully.
Yes.
And good. All right. And we're going to start working together. Before we do, though, here's what I'm going to decide who I'm going to work with first. I'm right now working on putting together a sort of a document with a list of limiting beliefs And do you know what limiting beliefs are?
Yes. There are beliefs that are holding you back from making progress.
Awesome, man. And so whoever says one first, which will probably be you, is the guy I'm going to work with first, whoever can tell me a limiting belief that people have. It doesn't have to be one you have, but one that people have.
Tall guys guys that are too tall don't get women. Guys are too short, don't get women. Guys are too ugly, can't get women. Guys who stutter, which is probably true, don't get women.
And what's the reality of the situation?
The reality is if you have an interesting personality, if you know the right method of attraction, creating attraction, creating interest, then it doesn't matter if you're tall, short, bald, whatever.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I remember when I was learning the game and I like went through the personals. And you look at him, and every girl wants a guy who's over 6 feet. And you'd be like, you're like 5'1". What are you doing saying you need a guy to be over 6 feet? This is bullshit. And then I was thinking, every girl out there wants a guy who's over 6 feet. I'm just fucked. I'm like 6 inches smaller than that. I'm a whole, like, head smaller than that. But then when I went out and was actually interacting with people, my height was never a problem. I dated girls who were 6 feet. You know, there's a couple girls who are 6 feet tall. And most of my girlfriends were taller than me, and it did not matter at all. And again, you know, you convey the end value that they want. They want a tall guy, maybe it's because they want to feel like they look good and are protected by a guy. So if you look good with them and you make them feel safe, then you've taken care of the end value that they think a tall guy is going to give them. As for the guy who stutters, just in case there's anyone on the phone who does stutter, again, stuttering can actually be an advantage. Because if you walk up to a set, and I've seen it happen, and you have a stutter, they're not really going to rudely reject you. Because, I mean, you have a stutter. They'd really be fucking, like, go to hell for being mean to some guy who's trying to talk to him with a stutter. So the fact is, any handicap you may have actually goes to, actually helps you. You know, if you're like a quarterback with a deep booming voice and you walk up to approach. In fact, I just got an email from some guy who is like a huge guy who he says looks like he's on steroids and he has trouble approaching because he intimidates people. So even for the stutterer, things can be easier. There's a guy who appears on some of David D'Angelo's stuff named Sean. He's a kind of little teeny guy in a wheelchair whose, you know, body shape is very strange. And he's like one of the best approach artists I know. Like he'll go and get away on the dance floor with shit that no one else can get away with, like hypersexual moves, because, you know, he can come in under the radar. So that was a good thought. And what was your name? Oh, what's your handle, the person who just shared that limiting belief?
Oh, Wild Man.
What's that?
Wild Man.
Cool. And I'm assuming then, so you, I actually know, which problem did you write me about? Were you the one who had the anxiety when someone's interested in you?
No, actually.
Are you from the Apprentice Weekend?
Yes.
All right, cool. I recognize your voice. I just didn't know. I love that it's Wild Man. So good. You are one of the people I wanted to talk to first. And for you guys who saw the Apprentice Weekend videos, Wild Man was kind of one of the four guys I was personally taking through missions on the promenade. And I've been dying to talk to Wild Man first. I got a couple emails. And I've been dying to talk to you and see kind of how your progress has been since then. So tell me a little bit about how you've done. Have you continued to develop? Have you sort of gotten lazy and snapped back? Where are you at?
Actually, shortly after the weekend, after coming back, I was still on the high from the weekend. So I went out a few times with some of my buddies, and it was great. It was field report based on that.
You want to share one of the stories and make sure you speak up so everyone can hear.
Yeah, sure. So the field reports that I wrote were with me going to a club. Initially, I was very apprehensive. I called up one of my buddies who probably been doing this for about six months or so, and he's an AFC, but he's a little bit further along than I was, and so he knew some of the things to do. But the month prior to me going to L.A., he had broke up with this one girl who just tore him up, really. He stopped going out. So when I came back, I called him up, and he hadn't gone out for an entire month. He was really feeling really depressed. And so we went out, and first thing we did was, after telling him about the L.A. trip, he pointed out a set of six or seven girls just as we were leaving the bookstore. And he points and says, "Approach." And I could feel myself just, the same feeling I had when we were at the promenade.
At the beginning?
Yeah, at the beginning.
So for you, just to catch you guys up, when, you know, Wild Man and I went out to the promenade, like, literally, stage fright took over. You know, he got a little nervous, like a little bit sweaty, and we were just doing the easy missions, like small talk, but instantly he went into what Diego would call limiting mind, what Mr. would call the aware state, what we all call approach anxiety, and just, you know, it was tough.
Yeah, it was. It was tough. And as soon as he said that, all these thoughts came racing to my mind. What am I going to do? You know, and under normal circumstances for the LA trip, I would have just backed out. I would have said I would have made some excuse. But then I was thinking back to that same feeling back at the promenade. And at the promenade, there was no backing out. There was no giving up. All these cameras were on me. You were there. I couldn't say, no, I'm not doing it.
Right.
So I thought back to that same feeling, and I pushed past that anxiety. And I turned around, started my countdown, one, two, and I was
right.
In. I was in, and I opened them by just saying, so you girls look like you're having a lot of fun. We were trying to find a good place to hang out tonight. You guys have anything in mind? And instantly, I mean, they were receptive. I mean, as unfriendly as I was thinking in my head that they would be,
right?
They weren't like that at all. As soon as I said that, they opened right up. One of them was getting married. They were having a bachelorette party, and one of them was joking about us going to a male strip club with them, which they were about to go to. And
did you? That would have been hilarious. Can you imagine the potential there? I mean, seriously, it's better to go if you're going to work it. It's better to go to a male strip club full of worked up women than to go to a female one full of worked up men and women who want their money.
Right.
You could have had a field day.
Yeah. So, we started talking, and they were closing. The bookstore was closing, so the clerks rushed us out. We talked a little in the parking lot, and I didn't know how to continue the conversation. I mean, the seven of them were about to head off somewhere, and I didn't know how to keep their interest and keep them there a little longer, so we both just ejected and went to the nearest club.
Great. I mean, that's fantastic, and I'll tell you what, you know, I'll give you a few, give you a few tweaks on that, and then I'll ask you about the other field reports. But first of all, that's amazing. I mean, if you saw this guy that and how nervous you were at the prom at first, and Fong, Wild Man, worked through it, and while he worked through it and, you know, was approaching after a while in the promenade, but definitely took a few times where it was, like, even scary to approach, like, an old woman in the doorway of that pretzel stand, I remember. And then and because you felt that fear, we kind of approached and talked to her, and had been thinking about it for so long, she kind of felt that fear. And to go from there to approaching a seven set is phenomenal. I mean, a seven set, that's a scary thing. That's a lot of people. You
that
lose one
scary.
Person, you've lost the whole set. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Was your friend blown away?
No, actually, he was actually part of the conversation. He kept the conversation going.
Cool.
And he was actually a pretty good wingman.
Cool. I find that to be true of a lot of people, which is they can do everything else but the approach.
Mm-hmm.
But the approach is, you know, what separates the amateur from the champ, because that is when you have the possibility of things not working out, of your ego and your self-image sort of supposedly being on the line, even though they aren't, because You'll usually hate yourself for not approaching rather than hate yourself for actually approaching. And imagine, like, if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't do that, you never would have had that experience, and then you would have been beating yourself up, and then it would have been even harder to do the next approach.
Right. And the approach is the biggest deal for me because of my limiting belief that if you can't hold a conversation, then the approach is useless, and so I don't do the approach. And for me, holding conversation is hard because I get stalled out. I start talking about something, and all of a sudden, there's nothing in my head to talk about anymore.
Right, and that's why, like, that's the whole sort of Style Life Academy sort of philosophy is, well, if you can't do step three and you won't do step one because you can't do step three, then you're never going to learn step three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn step one, which is the approach, and you succeeded, right? Then you learn step two is how to continue the conversation.
Right.
Then you learn step three, which is, you know, how to be fascinating and really hold their interest. So
Right. You
just take, you know, if you don't do step one because you can't do step three, you're never going to learn it. You at least get up to your sticking point where you're really stuck, and you get the help to get past it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find your new sticking point, and you get the help to get past that, and so on. And some sticking points you eliminate with one conversation, one approach. Otherwise, other ones might take you a couple months, but once you're past them for life, and that's pretty fucking cool.
Right.
So a couple thoughts on that, and then we'll move on to your next. And by the way, once you went to the club, now that you had this success, this approach under your belt, how was your approach game?
So the club we went to was kind of loud, and so all of a sudden, that whole shock of being in an environment that I'm not used to just pushed me back to just starting fresh again. I mean, here I'm having to get used to this whole new environment, and luckily my buddy was there, and he pushed me to approach. And after the first approach at the club, everything became easier.
Right. That's great. And so I'm going to give you a couple quick thoughts on your earlier stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is one, you know, I've at your level, I have nothing bad to say about that first approach. You did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a couple little subtleties. One is I found that although do you know a good place around here to hang out, openers, or I'm new in town, what should I do, openers? I mean, those open very well because people want to help you. They want to give you thoughts and ideas. They want to show their expertise.
Right.
But as a guy, when you do them, and I found this from experience because I that used to be my opener kind of before the game, and experiencing with the opposite after the game helped. When you do that as a guy, it shows lower value. In other words, a woman is now giving you advice and taking care of you.
Right.
So I find that when you approach anyone, whether you're in a foreign city or a city you are, it's better to know the city, be the guy who knows the city, be the guy who knows the fun stuff to do, be the guy who can take her on your wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
So even to take the situation, if you would sort of open up with something else, and then you knew they were having a bachelor party, like, oh man, you know, there's so much cool shit to do. Which place are you going to? You're going to that? You know what you should do after that? You've got to go to my friend's club, XY. It's really, really fun. You know, in other words, if you came across as that guy,
mm-hmm.
then they would be closing you so they could get the information so they could go to the club before or after.
Mm, okay.
So that's why in Style Life program for once you, I'm sure most of you guys know about seating and finding out about the events in your town. That's why when you know something cool going on every day, you don't get stuck for a way to close because you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's okay because you're taking a step at a time and you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Let's continue to the issue of running out of stuff to say. Do you feel that's your kind of sticking point right now?
Yeah.
Okay. And tell me what are the things that you sort of say or why you run out of things to say?
So every single one of my openers have been situational. I'm not very comfortable with the hand stuff yet, in part having to do with it. I haven't memorized them that well, and it feels very contrived when I do try to say them. Anyhow.
You realize those are both another good example of limiting belief.
Right. Okay. So every step that I approach, I look for something that is related to the situation. One girl, or a couple of girls that I approached, one girl was holding a water bottle at a club. And so I opened with, why are you drinking water at a club? You two should be getting wasted. Another two-step that I approached was in the VIP section of the club. And my approach was, how did you guys manage to get into the VIP section? And we started talking from there. So every situational opener that I used has worked, and it's hard to go from the situational opener into something that is deeper.
Right. So my exactly. Well, this is why these other openers exist. They work, man. I think that's awesome that the situational openers work, and if they work, hey, why swap it out? But the problem is these other openers that have been tested by myself hundreds if not thousands of times, and other guys probably hundreds of thousands of times.
Right.
Those things exist because they're meant to lead somewhere and go somewhere and convey all the things you need to convey for not just a successful open, but a successful close.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle piece working together. You know, so you even anyone listening to you,
uh-huh,
and maybe when you listen back to this call,
right,
they're going to realize that you've answered your own question right there.
Okay.
You know, why are you running out of things to say? Well, I'm just thinking of something to say on the spot, and then I really don't like using anything that anyone else uses. You know, you have a thing to say because you're not taking the time to think of anything to say ahead of time.
Right.
You don't even have to use other people's cam stuff.
Okay.
But for example, when let's just take the dental floss opener, which is one of the openers I made up. The reason I made up the dental floss opener was a guy had come up to me and said, you know, these openers don't work. He's like, I think we were using the Ricky Lake or Maury Povich opener, and he was like, these openers don't work. I'm like, what do you mean they don't work? We've had some amazing adventures that would boggle the mind based on beginning conversations with these, but I'll tell you what, it's not the openers that don't work, it's you who are not working them. So it doesn't even matter what you say, so give me something, anything to talk about. Make it ridiculous. And he made it dental floss, and then I kind of spun that out on the spot. But the nice thing about dental floss is that, you know, it was a fun interaction. We could take it a little bit further. The more you practice it, the more you will get all the invisible threads and contingencies that it leads to, and then it can segue nicely into the C's versus U's routine about teeth and kind of throw in an egg, saying, okay, smile, let's see whether it's better to floss before or after. Okay, your teeth are nicer. I think I'm going to do it before from now on. You know, once you have a set piece, whatever that piece is, whether it's one I make up or you make up,
mm-hmm,
or other guys, you get out the forums,
uh-huh,
once you have that set piece, the more you use it, the more it becomes just tight and sharp. And you realize fun places to go, you know when to start it, you know when to cut it. It's like, that's when it becomes an art versus just talking to someone and getting over your confidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what I would suggest doing now is choosing a couple openers. You can just take ones that you know, I always feel like it may be overused, I don't know, but
uh-huh,
I've still have never been caught with it, or anyone else who has, maybe a couple of people who have, but you have a contingency plan, is that, you know, the jealous girlfriend opener is very easy.
Uh-huh.
The dental floss opener is very common and very fun. If you get the newsletter, in the next newsletter, I have like a brand new opener that nobody else knows.
Okay.
That's kind of really fun.
Right.
Or you can just do your own thing. Figure out a song you want to know the title of, or a question you want to know the answer to, and make that your sort of opener for the day.
Okay.
So, in other words, what happens if you see that girl you want to talk to and she doesn't have a water bottle in her hand and she's not looking at a book?
Right.
She's just there. And how long is it going to take you to think of something to say, especially if you're already nervous?
Mm.
Have these in your back pocket. You don't always need to use them.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to use the openers. You don't need to use the routines.
Right.
You don't need to use the demonstration of higher value. But when you run out of things to say, how nice is it that you have a backup plan, something to say when you get stuck?
Right.
For me, when I got really good, and I could just sort of wing it. I could walk up and say whatever was on my mind, and I could just sort of make up stuff, and guys would be taking notes, thinking I'm doing some fabulous routine, and I'm just spinning ridiculous stuff off the top of my head. But then there would be that point when I'm like, okay, all right, I've demonstrated value. I've gotten her interest, and now we need to make an emotional connection. I need to get to the next place, and I throw in a routine that was there just to kind of accelerate me to the next level of the interaction.
Right.
And the main reason I even use these pieces, I recommend anyone using these pieces, is, you know, there's a process you have to, you, one, takes a woman through, whether they're doing it consciously at a conscious level like we are, or you know, unconscious competence like a guy who's natural.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to take them through these stages, And I find that for the waypoints, for the transition points from one phase to another, that's where these things come in handy.
Okay.
From being a stranger to talking, from talking to demonstrating value, from demonstrating value to making an emotional connection, from making an emotional connection to making a physical connection. That nice to have those pieces when you know it's time to get there.
Okay.
So I think your step now is find two good openers. That's all you need. That's all you'll ever need.
Okay.
Why don't you take one that's there and then make up another? If you're gonna make one up, you know, maybe share it with the guys in the forums. They might be able to give you some critique as to whether it would work or wouldn't work.
Okay.
Because there are subtleties sometimes. People come up with ridiculous stuff, or they'll overthink it. Yeah, the easiest way to do it maybe is just to grab Cosmopolitan and look through there for some of the stuff and be like, can you believe whatever? You can even just say, I was just looking at this month's Cosmopolitan in a girlfriend of mine's house. And already by saying, you were looking through Cosmopolitan at a girlfriend of yours' house, you're already showing little bits of value, which is, you know, you're cool, you're open to stuff, you have female friends who, you know, you're comfortable with and things like that. Because as well, these openers are convey cool qualities about yourself and buy you a lot of time to demonstrate your personality.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I think I made a point. So,
right.
So as far as running out of things to say, well, I mean, you have to have your mind working like this if you're going to become an expert, if you're going to really master this. But you have to say, well, what is my problem? My problem is I'm running out of things to say.
Uh-huh.
What can I do to solve that problem is, you know, put another tool in my toolkit so when I run out of things to say, here's a story I can jump out with.
Okay.
So what I would do is I would write down two stories that are true from your life that are always interesting.
Okay.
And just root them in the sense of making them if they're recent. Be like, you know, I got to run soon, but you'll never believe what happened to me. You know, have you guys ever, who's that actor in that movie with the dragon or whatever, just say something to interact them, you know, some questions that will hook them into your story.
Okay.
And then say it and make sure that you're able to shorten or lengthen the story as the case may be.
Okay.
Like when Mr. and I would go out and do the spells opener, we had like a super long 10-minute version with all these funny little details, and we had like a super short 15-second version depending on how loud it was and what their attention span was.
Right. Okay.
So get down two openers, get down two stories,
uh-huh.
and get down two ways to demonstrate value, such as the ever popular and ever cool cube.
Okay.
And I've got a psychologist on the Style Life team now, which is pretty cool. He may even hop on this call because I really wanted to. He's going through all the material in the academy and kind of giving us feedback on that, as well as developing new stuff for us. And one thing we're doing is creating trying to create, you know, the Cube version 2, like a more powerful and newer thing, since it is such a classic. So learn the cube, which I taught you guys at Apprentice Weekend and showed you my version of it. And if not, it's on YouTube. So if you guys just search Style Life on YouTube, you'll find, if you haven't seen it already, you'll find me doing the cube, and you can grab all those little pieces and learn one other fun piece. The cube is a nice one-on-one thing. Learn a fun group thing.
So I haven't used the cube yet, but I've used the ring finger routine.
The ring finger routine, there you go.
And that's worked really well.
Did you use that with this group, the Bachelorette group?
No, I used that with two girls, the water bottle set.
Right. Why didn't you use it with this group?
I guess I felt that there wasn't enough time.
It sounds like there was a time constraint because they had to go run and do their thing.
Yeah.
But a time constraint is also an opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, you can do the ring thing, just do one finger and not even the finger they're wearing the ring on, and be like, you know what, you guys have to go. Let's continue this later. You know, let us know where you guys end up going, and we'll continue it. So in other words, starting the ring finger routine or the cube when there's a time constraint is a great thing, because it's a great way to number close, because then they're curious to find out what happens next if they have to run.
Right. Okay.
And that's a great way to get the information. So again, a second way to get the number besides knowing what's going on in town could have been to start a fascinating routine and been like, you know what, you guys got to get ready for your party tonight. I got to get ready to go out tonight. You know, you guys seem cool, so let's find a way to continue this.
Okay. Going back to what you were saying earlier about having two stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on getting a collection of stories, but my other stumbling blocks is to make this story interesting. Now, I remember on that second day on the LA trip when we were at the Starbucks and the sneak was telling a story about the bondage ball, how he drew everyone's attention, how he would pace the story perfectly to just get the humor in, get the attention. I don't.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. Okay, here's your solution. And by the way, it's Sneak. If you're listening, your field reports have been rocking, man. I've been reading those, and he told that story so hilariously that I hope it's in his routine now. And guess what? The Sneak is a stand-up comic. I mean, the good fortunate thing is, Wildman's. Are you in the Academy, Wildman?
No, actually, I didn't make it in.
You son of a bitch. No, that's cool. I had a couple guys from Apprentice Weekend on this call, and I wish you were in the Academy.
Yeah.
Because, A, there's a whole storytelling course on storytelling.
Okay.
And, B, there's a whole social anxiety one. So I'm bummed you...
Yeah, I tried to get on, but the server just wouldn't let me on. And I couldn't sit there the entire day.
I know. I'm so pissed about that. So, yeah. I don't know what... Yeah. So...
So is there?
Yeah, flashing back, I remember me and the programmer were sitting there, literally, fucking, freaking out because we knew that scenario was happening over and over all across the world planet.
Yeah.
So I apologize. And the other thing that I recommend doing then is you know, the Sneak is a stand-up comic, mm-hmm. right? The reason he can do that is he's performed on stage a lot. And he knows the timing of the audience, when to throw in the funny stuff, when to embellish, when to kind of
right.
tone it down. And there's so much storytelling stuff to do, and there's a whole unit on it. I would say just say for now, treat it like a stand-up comic. Find your story. Every set you do is like an audience.
Right.
When you're speaking to that audience, find out sort of where to take up the high points and the low points,
right,
and how to work it. And if you did a challenge, there was a nice storytelling document,
right, okay,
that came with a challenge. And I don't want to give away like the advanced courses for the guys who are on the phone.
Uh-huh.
But for now, just find your story, and when you're going out, just calibrate, watch people's reactions when you're saying it, see what you can build up, see what you can. And most important thing is just have a great ending for your story.
Right.
Whenever someone does improv or an improv scene or a joke, it's all leading to an end or a punchline. Just make sure that ending is tight and brings it all together really nicely.
Yeah. So is there a structure to it, though? I mean, when I'm telling a story, I have a tendency to include too much detail. And so with a lot of my guy friends, it's okay because they want the details. But what some of the other POAs have been telling me is that when I tell a story to women, I should cut down on the details. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would do that. I would do the plot points of your story. In other words, say, went camping, noise outside, thought it was a bear, turned out it was an abandoned child, now it's my son. Or whatever the story is.
Okay.
You know, write down those four, you know, in other words, that could be a half-hour story, but those are the plot points. Those are the points that the story revolves around.
Right.
And so if you want to do it short version, you can just tell those four sentences. If they seem interesting and fascinating and it's quiet, you can embellish the other little details. So it's kind of like a slinky. You can expand it or shrink it down to its smallest size or drop it down the stairs and watch it go. So just choose your story, go out and start telling it, and you're gonna figure it out. I want to tell you more, but that would honestly be like a half hour, and I know I got three other guys to get to on the call. So let me ask you then, so now, how are you feeling? So you feel like you can approach now any time where you have your approach anxiety, but you're at least able to overcome that.
Right.
You're able to start a conversation, but you're not able to get further.
Yeah.
And now we know why you're not getting further.
Yeah.
All right, cool, Wildman. Thanks for being on the call. Get in the damn academy and take the storytelling course.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, man, thanks for doing this. It was good catching up with you, man.
Likewise. Bye.
Hey, and one more thing, Wildman.
Yeah.
Small thing, and I'm almost being hypocritical when I say this because my voice is one of my weaker points.
Uh-huh.
But you say a lot when you're speaking. I don't know if you know it, but record your voice and just get rid of those brain farts.
Right.
Because you'll say like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times in a single sentence. I probably do too. But since I'm giving the advice, I'll say be careful to get rid of that. And if you feel like you're going to say it, just pause, wait a moment, and then continue on with what you're saying. It'll make what you sound much more confident.
Okay.
So record yourself for a second, and when you're just talking to a friend or when you're on the phone with someone, just obviously it's legal to record.
Right.
Phone call without telling people, but record, just record the your side of the call and listen to yourself afterward, and then you'll notice when you're saying us, and the best way to get over and start correcting yourself.
Okay.
I probably said like 10 times in that whole explanation. Anyway, cool, man. All right, it was good seeing you, wild man, and keep me up to date on your field report.
Okay, I will.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, that was great. I feel like I'm ready to go out and meet Mr. Wright. The Style Life Academy would like to thank all of you for participating in this teleseminar. For details on up-and-coming teleseminars, be sure to get on the mailing list at www.stylelifeacademy.com. Now go outside and make that cutesy smile.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Welcome to your Style Life Academy teleseminar, hosted by StyleLife.com. Your host today will be the man who earned the title of number one PUA 3 years running, Neil Shouse, a.k.a. Style, off of several popular, well-regarded books published on the topic of women, relationships, dating, pickup, and seduction. By speaking on this call or participating on this call in any way, you are agreeing to release all rights and grant permission to Style Life to use this recorded conference call or any part thereof for any purpose with no compensation due. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy headmaster, Neil Shouse, known to many of you simply as Style.
All right, great. Great mind is here as well.
Okay, cool. I bet you are. I know you have to leave soon. All right, tell me a limiting belief. Mate, mine?
You're asking me?
Yeah, tell me, to get started, I want you to offer some value
belief?
To the guys. Yeah. What's the limiting belief?
I guess my issue, as I mentioned, is...
Not your own limiting belief, but you know, in order to get some help, we're going to work with the idea of reciprocity. Maybe you can share a limiting belief with guys, a limiting belief guys have, and then give them a solution for it.
Oh, a limiting belief that say that, well, maybe some people fear being in a relationship and that it might restrict them in certain ways. And I guess one way of dealing with that is to figure out what you really want out of it and to try to guide it in that direction.
Okay, cool. I'll accept that. So anyway, I know about your problem because you've emailed about a bunch of times about it. In fact, if you want to do a quick, short version summary of the story for the guys, go ahead and do that.
Sure.
Talk about it. Now we're going to go from a very beginner problem to a very sort of advanced problem in a way. Or the other end of the spectrum, a relationship issue.
So I'll give a quick summary, and feel free to give your summary afterwards if you see it, which may be different. We've been going out since about mid-November.
You and I?
And she's I'm based here in Boston, and she decided she wanted to go abroad for the summer and perhaps even just stay at home for the rest of the summer. And the question is, how should I view that in the context of relationship if she's not going to be in the same geographic area that I am? And she's making an active step to move somewhere, to be somewhere else, without what I consider to be a meaningful reason.
Right. And the answer is, and by thinking about it this much, you're going to blow it. You know?
The what?
You're gonna blow it if you take this personally. If you take this personally, you're gonna drive her away.
Mm-hmm.
In general, you know, the big picture, big idea, is that I had a, once I was just driving in the car, and sometimes when you're not thinking like you're driving or you're in a shower, you sort of have an epiphany. And my epiphany that one day was the secret to life is not to take it personally, which means that, and this is especially true in relationships, but it's true about everything, is that everything someone says and does isn't about you.
Okay.
So if somebody's leaving town to do your abroad, it doesn't mean they don't like you anymore. Corollaries to not taking things personally are if you get rejected in the club, it's not about who you are. Maybe it's about what they were doing, or it's about what you were doing, or how you presented yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking down the street and some guy hits you in the face, that's maybe just a jerk who was having a bad day and wanted to hit someone and you happen to be there. It doesn't mean that you're the kind of guy who people like to hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens, if one doesn't take it personally, things are a lot easier to deal with.
Okay.
So if you feel that your girlfriend, there's only one of two scenarios. And to the best case, either she's going abroad because she wants to expand her horizons and meet new people and experience more that life has to offer and has a chance to do it now mm-hmm. before while she's in college and not actually in a job and stuck somewhere. That's option one. And option two is, maybe it's feedback about you and the relationship, which I doubt. You know, maybe she feels constricted and refined. This is the only safe way she knows to get out of something. But even if that's true, one doesn't take it personally. It's just feedback on your technique. So my general thought is, how do you deal with the fact that your girlfriend's going away? Here's how you deal with it. You let her. You know, it's like, if one doesn't feel like they have freedom in a relationship, you know, one will want to run away anyway. And the fact that she's sort of, this is sort of a big thing for her. This is her stepping out and going away to experience life and do her thing. And if you're her boyfriend of how many years did you say, or how long?
It's only been 4 months.
If you're her boyfriend of 4 months, and all of a sudden you're like uncomfortable with the fact that she's going to go do something good for herself. I mean, that's the most selfish boyfriend ever. You know, if I had an opportunity. And someone I was dating felt threatened mm-hmm. by my opportunity, I would think that person's pretty insecure.
Mm.
Right? And even though, I'd be cool about it and be nice about it because I really cared and respected that person, in my head I would be thinking, this is one reason why I need to get away so I can be free.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing you can do, and this is going to be difficult for you, but the best thing you can do is support it and think it's cool.
Okay.
The best thing you can do is be like, that's awesome. That's going to be great. I'm really, really psyched for you. If you know anything cool to do, wherever she's going, tell her about it and you're going to miss her. And just, you let her, I mean, the best way, in other words, let's just think about the idea of jealousy, because in a way this is equivalent to jealousy. I'm not a jealous guy. I've never been jealous. And not only because I'm not jealous because I don't care. I'm not jealous because I'm somehow, super, super above it all. I just know that jealousy is a non-productive emotion. One's jealous of a girl, one is just going to drive her away. And my attitude always is, God gave man a choice between good and evil. I give you the choice between good and evil. You choose good, you get to stay. You choose evil, you don't. But the choice is yours. I'm not going to try and make it for you or force you to make a choice. So if you go away and I lose you, well then, clearly I didn't have enough value for you in the first place. So I'm glad I know now. If you go away and you're even more attached to me and you want me to visit all the time, we get to do those things, that's great. In the meantime, she's going to like you more if you're not trying to hold on to her. Does that make sense?
I hear you. And some of the things she did try to tell me many times that she didn't mean it personally. She'd been thinking about it well before we'd ever met.
Right.
I guess one of the questions I have is also a more detailed question of if she goes abroad, I found it to be very difficult to communicate over the telephone or via email with her. And I'm wondering, how do I keep it alive and a connection going while she's on the other half of the world?
I mean, first of all, one has to, first of all, yes, the email and the telephone are inferior methods of communication to in-person communication. As anyone who studies stuff knows, much of communication is body language anyway, and it's no substitute for being together. For anyone, including myself, who's had relationships with girls who are abroad, you can't, you know, you'll stay hang on the phone for an hour and a half, just trying to recreate that intense intimacy you get when you're together and you don't create it. And that's fine. That's part of it. You're going to miss each other, and that's great, because if she misses you and you miss her, then you get to go out there and visit her. So you're not going to rekindle the same intimacy by having amazing phone calls or the best emails in the world. That's not going to be a substitute for being together. The fact is, you are going to miss her, and you don't need to communicate. It's great. I mean, if you guys want to call each other every day and have ridiculous phone bills, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't, then you don't. And the fact that maybe this is an awkward communication for you might make her feel a little bit more distant and kind of miss you more. You know, it's like the more willing you are to let her go, the more willing you are to walk away, the more she's going to be attached to you. And you sent me like her blog post on MySpace and stuff, and she's feeling this confusion about you. And she's also, you know, a little bit insecure, I noticed from her post as well. But
that would be an understatement.
Right, exactly. So dude, I mean, first of all, by not worrying about you honestly have nothing to worry about, and by worrying about it, you're destroying it. That's all I can tell you. Two insecure people in a relationship, that's like a recipe for disaster. So you be the secure one and let her be the insecure one. And by you making an issue, by you forcing her to say, I don't want you to take it personally, she already knows that you're taking it personally. You should never even be in the position of her having to say, I don't want you to take it personally. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be like, first of all, it's a selfish one-sided relationship if you're not supporting someone's decision to grow and expand, and if you feel threatened by it. Don't be that guy. Like, when I'm with a girl, I want her to live her dreams. I want her to go travel and do cool shit. I want her to be the coolest, most well-traveled, most famous, successful girl there is, because that makes me proud and I know I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, the other reason I don't get jealous, and this may sound cockier than it is, but like, I know I'm the best. When I'm with her, I know she can't get a better relationship. I know she can't find a cooler guy. I know she can't have more fun. I know she can't have better sex. So let her go. It's let her go out and fucking learn it for herself, because I'm not going to tell, you know? And she's not going to want to. When girls would come over to Project Hollywood, who I was dating or seeing or working on, I suppose, when they come over to Project Hollywood, I wasn't worried about the other pickup artists trying to game her. If they try to game her, I just kind of sit back and laugh, because I knew that she was going to end up with me that night. So you really have to get confidence in yourself and what you have to offer.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you don't, it's emotional. I know you can't help it sometimes because you feel that loss and the separation anxiety. But keep it to yourself. Have a friend you can talk and bitch to it about. Have a really good friend you can talk about it all the time. Don't talk about it with her. Everything is fucking great, hunky dory and dandy.
Okay. In other words, you just say that everything is great.
I'll be like, I'm going to miss you. It's going to be tough for me, but I'm glad you're doing this thing. I think it's going to be cool. Tell me about it. You know, I hope I can stay open up. I'm psyched to visit you, find all the good places. Give her tasks to do for you while she's there. So make a list of the 10 best places we'll go to when I'm there. That way she's there and she's thinking about you and experiencing you. You know, you got to send me, I don't know what country she's going to, but, you got to send me a CD by this, my favorite band, or pick me up one of these. It'd be awesome. I'd love that. Give her things to do there that will make her think about you, that are positive for her experience, too.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
When I saw her post that you had given, I saw that you were driving her away, because she feels very confused about you. She feels confused about you because your insecurity about this situation is driving her away. But she's also, you know, feels too, that she also feels from her post that you are above her status. She's like, I don't know why a guy like that would be attracted to a girl like me.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, that's what she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So, hold the reins here and be the man.
And if she decides to come back and not come back to where I'm living, but to her parents for the rest of the summer, then just be cool about it and say, that's fine. Going to miss you. When you come back here, I'll see you.
How far away are her parents?
New Jersey.
And how far away is that from where you are? Like now? Where are you? It's in Boston.
It's,
are you?
It's a day train ride, and I don't mind going, but it's a question of how she, I guess what she wants.
And then when school starts again, you guys are back in school.
Yes.
You know, I think ultimately you have to make the decisions. You cannot control her behavior. You know, I think the biggest mistake in relationships one makes is one thinks one can control someone else's behavior, and you can only control your own behavior. So my personal thought on that is, okay, you're going away. That's cool. You're having a good time. Am I going to visit or am I not? When you come home, are you going to go to your parents? Are you in a situation where she can stay with you for a weekend or a week?
Yes.
Right. So when she comes home, is she going to go to her parents and chill out there and separate there? Or is she actually going to come hang out and stay with you? Because if she's actually going to go to her parents and not spend a week with you or spend this time with you, then maybe she's not, you know, the right girlfriend to have in her life anyway.
Yeah.
All I can do is be cool enough and show the most value and, you know, give her the best sex and be the coolest guy. And if she still chooses to do these other things, then this is not a, you know, relationship that is growing stronger. But I have a feeling that once she goes away, she is going to miss you. It's going to be hard.
Okay.
It's going to be lonely. She's going to be a little bit of homesick, especially if it's her first time this far away. And when you guys get together again, it's going to be like a amazing, touching, storybook, awesome reunion. You know, but you can't worry about it if you can't control it. And all you can control is yourself. And by being the highest value, coolest guy, the guy who she's like, why is this guy even with me? I don't understand why you date a girl like me. Be that guy.
Okay. I understand. Now,
and all these discussions that you're having with her about open relationships, closed relationships, threesome, foursomes, don't have discussions. I mean, if she wants to have a discussion about it, cool. Don't continually have discussions about it. Your other problem is you're making the relationship the focus of the relationship. So whenever you guys get together, you're just talking about the relationship. Go do fun things so you take the focus off each other. Because it starts to be confining and constricting, and you just want to fucking escape from it, because you know when you get together, you're going to have some long, involved conversation where you may or may not see eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't make the relationship the focus of the relationship.
Okay.
And you're a guy who thinks too much. I can tell from your email, I can tell from your name, which is mate mind. So you should take up an activity that requires you to be in a moment. Yoga, a little cold out there, well, surfing, yoga, something physical that requires you to be in a moment so you can turn your mind off and realize that when your mind is off, that's when it's at its most powerful.
Okay.
Diego, are you on the call? Diego's here. He might have something to add as well. So if he's here, he'll jump in. If not, we'll just move on. So go ahead, Nate.
Okay. I think that's what I can... I sort of feel like there's more to it. A part of it is, I guess, how do I set it up? Part of it is also I'm thinking this was a situation that I could have steered in a different way. And I'm wondering, you can't from the just background I gave on the call, but from the previous background, I'm wondering what other things could I have done earlier in the process to steer it in the correct direction
What do you mean by steer it in the correct direction?
In other words, it wasn't a foregone conclusion. Much as she likes to tell it that it was a foregone conclusion by the time we met that she was going to go abroad this summer, from reviewing her posts, some of which I neglected to send you, I said it appears the decision was made in about a month or two ago.
Who cares?
Who cares?
It's not about you, dude. I just gave you all this advice for nothing because you're going back on it. Who cares whether she made it before you, during you, after you? It doesn't matter. Let the girl have her awesome trip. Let her have a fucking good time. Who cares when she made the decision? Yeah, I mean, if I have the opportunity to spend 3 months abroad, I'm going to take it. Someone says, hey, if someone wants to invite me to Tokyo for 3 months to live in a cool little place in a city, yeah, I'm going to take it. You know, why would you not take it? You got one lifetime. Doing the summer abroad or the year abroad or the semester abroad is a part of the college experience. And who cares? And why are you dating her emails and checking them out like a private investigator? You know? And
All right.
Pouring over these things in this detail, fuck that shit. past is the past. What's going on is what's going on now. All you have to do is deal with the damage control that you started from your insecurity. And I know I'm being harsh right now, but this wouldn't be an issue if you didn't feel secure about it. You might want to ask yourself why you feel worried or threatened about this, by this. And to me, your goal, while she's gone, is you work on yourself to make yourself the best person there is, so you're not the kind of guy who worries about these things and sees them as an opportunity for her, an opportunity for her as an opportunity for you. I know that the girls I'm dating, if they don't have success in their lives, in their careers, in their social lives, or wherever they want success, and they're not happy there, that's going to come back to the relationship and destroy it. So in a way, her getting an experience and stuff makes her, is going to make, if you guys stay together, you know, if it is the right relationship, her getting to go out in the world and live her dreams and do these things is going to make her more confident in the relationship because she won't feel like she's missing anything.
That's good stuff, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, Diego.
Sorry, I was out that whole thing. I just called out and called back in. I don't know why, what happened.
Oh, weird. Well, anyway, I think we're cool. Unless, do you have anything else in your mind, or should we? I think see what we're doing on time.
I guess I don't have something specific at the moment.
That's cool. I mean, that's funny, but that's really all what I wanted to say to you when I got your thoughts is just you know, don't hold this girl back from life, or she's gonna resent you, and let her be the insecure one, not you, because two insecure people in a relationship is just a recipe for a disaster. And also think about yourself. Because last piece I'll give you is you're talking about having an open relationship. You're talking about being with other women. I mean, think about, is this the relationship for you? Take the time to ask yourself that as well. Because if you're thinking about all the other things, is it just the validation you're questing for? Or is it really, are you really into this girl?
I'd prefer to go over with a coach in more detail offline if possible to try to figure out some of those things.
Guess what? That makes sense. But ask yourself those questions because you know the answers. In fact, I was to ask you right now, fuck the detail. I really believe in our intuition or our gut feeling on this. Right now, is this the girl for you? Yes or no? Quick.
Yes.
Awesome, man. Congratulations, then. So I hope it works out, and you know, hope she has a great time there, and hope she misses you and finds cool things for you to do there, and sends you fun presents, and you know, if this is the girl for you, support her life choices. All right, brother.
Okay.
All right,
thank you for your input.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad we got to talk. All right.
Thanks. That was great. I feel like I'm ready to go out and meet Mr. Wright. The Style Life Academy would like to thank all of you for participating in this teleseminar. For details on up-and-coming teleseminars, be sure to get on the mailing list at www.stylelifeacademy.com. Now go outside and make that cutesy smile.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Bits is exclusive.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Welcome to your Style Life Academy teleseminar, hosted by StyleLife.com. Your host today will be the man who earned the title of number one PUA 3 years running, Neil Shouse, a.k.a. Style, the author of several popular, well-regarded books published on the topic of women, relationships, dating, pickup, and seduction. By speaking on this call or participating on this call in any way, you are agreeing to release all rights and grant permission to Style Life to use this recorded conference call or any part thereof for any purpose with no compensation due. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy headmaster, Neil Shouse, known to many of you simply as Style.
Who's going to share a limiting belief next? Do we have Hype here?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Neil?
Hey, man, what's happening?
How are you?
And
first off,
go ahead.
Dude, I wanted to say thanks. I spoke to Bravo. I will not let you guys down. Thank you.
Awesome, man. I'm psyched you're doing it. Great.
Awesome. So, man, so yesterday, I know this is probably too advanced, you know, but I'm just crazy. And we went out to a strip club yesterday, and I was pretty much, I mean, my friends were like, dude, get a lap dance. And I'm like, you know what? That's kind of me taking a step back because I knew that was something that my AFC would do, not who I am now. So I was kind of trying to gain some strippers. It's crazy. Hello?
Yeah,
right. just making sure you're on. So pretty much, I kind of bombed the first like 5-6 sets because they came up like doing a lap dance, and I was like, do I look like someone who would want to get a lap dance? You know, because I wanted to do some like cocky funny with that, but I really wasn't sure what to do because
be the wrong response because they're like, well, you're in a strip club, so you like being in a deli, being like, I look like the person who wants to meet.
Dude, that is exactly what one of the chicks said.
Exactly.
That's so crazy. You just like took it right out of her mind. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, but one of the girls, right? I'm not sure if I should have done it or not. I mean, I spoke to Sneak earlier, and he said it wasn't a really good thing to do, and I knew it was kind of conveying interest, but I was like, you know what? For chips and giggles, I'll just try it out, see what happens. And I basically came up to her and said, you know what? I normally wouldn't do this, but of all the women I've dated, you are the most beautiful one. And before that, I actually locked eye contact with her while she was giving a lap dance.
Wait, you said of all the women you've dated?
Of all the women I've dated, you are the most beautiful one.
Okay, that's funny.
And unfortunately, I cannot allow for myself to get a lap dance, but I thought you should know that. and it was funny because she opened like magic. She was just clucking me. And she was like, you know what, dude, this is like my first day here. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Where are you from? And she's actually from L.A. Her name is, I think, what is her name? I
have it because it's not her real name still anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. It was actually last night. And it was like my second time really being in a strip bar because I normally, I couldn't even get in until yesterday. So pretty much, I mean, we spoke for like 5 minutes, and then I just didn't know where to take it because, I mean, I can't number close the stripper. She's not going to give me her number. I just wasn't sure. And then there was another girl.
Okay, well, that's your limiting belief for today. Of course, I've gotten numbers from, I've had strippers sneak me numbers plenty of times.
Well, bro.
Or just tell me the number, and then I remember it or put it into my phone later.
The thing is, it seemed like it was too quick. Like, we spoke for 5 minutes.
It would seem like it was too quick, but the limiting belief that you're not going to get a number from a stripper is not true.
Well, I mean, in that sense, I mean, it wasn't the right time to do that, and I really didn't know how to go about that because, you know, I've never done this before, you know, never in my life. And there was another, actually, stripper who I spoke to. We spoke for, like, 10 minutes. I actually ran the cube on her. It was the craziest fucking thing ever. It was awesome. But then I just didn't know where to take it. I had no idea what to do, so she kind of left, and I got two kisses on the cheek.
No Kino from a stripper count.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I thought, because she's a hired gun.
Right.
And
they're paid to give you Kino.
But I did let her know that I'm not out there to get a lap dance. So, I mean, she did know that. She did know that I wasn't going to buy anything and that she wasn't going to get anything from me.
Well, listen, here's the deal. You and I have a little time together. We can talk about strip club game, or we can talk about what you need to know.
All right, well, what I need to know, all right, here's the thing, night game.
By the way, sounds like a fun night. Sounds like you had a good time.
Oh, awesome.
You had a nice opportunity with that girl who was there for the first day. Maybe she was there for the first day. Maybe that's her game. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
But
sounds like that was a cool interaction.
It was definitely fun.
And happy birthday, man.
Thank you. And it's funny because now that I'm 21, I'm trying to go to night, like clubs and stuff, but I don't know how to open sets. I don't know if my energy level is not high enough.
Your energy level,
what it is?
Your energy level is plenty high.
Really?
Let me tell you guys about Hype. If you're not, in case I didn't give an introduction, Hype is one of the Final Apprentices. He's a passenger of Flight 505. He is also going to be a moderator in the public forum because once Gypsy and Bravo wanted to move them in with you guys. I want to emphasize, also want to just keep that place from going to turn into a troll war like it did before. So anyway, he was in the video as well with the four guys who I work closely with. He's one of the two who I work very closely with in terms of teaching him missions and looking over his shoulder and walking him through it sort of step by step. So I really wanted to kind of get an update from Wild Man and Boris and see how they were doing now. So that said, In the big picture, how has your progress been?
Hello?
Hey.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you're here. I'm just making sure because my cell phone like cuts off randomly. I just got cut off earlier, so I want to make sure I'm on. But so pretty much, I mean, I use an opener like, you know, the 80s dog opener, but I feel like
wait, she's not out there.
Let me take
a step back. I just want to ask you a big general question before we get to that. How has your yeah, because I know you sent me a couple like pretty crazy field reports about, I think, closing a 10 or something like that, and some other pretty crazy field reports. But how has your progress been since I last saw you? I just want to know where you're at now. What's outside of your club, new club sticking point?
Right. Well, when I was in college, there were like in 1 week I had like 3 makeouts in 1 week, and that was just crazy for me.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
It was just so incredible. But I came back to the city, and I don't know if it was, I was actually starting with Sneak, and I kind of fell off a little bit. I don't know if it was just the fact that it was New York City or whatnot, but with those chicks, basically, I'm too afraid to go for the F-close. I don't know what it is. I don't know if
You're too afraid to go for the F-close. I mean, is this the point? Are you with them naked in bed and too afraid? Or have you just met them and you're too afraid? Because I got a funny feeling you're like so insanely outcome dependent that you're trying to skip ahead 10 steps. I'm only thinking about the next step when I'm there. You know, because you asked me about threesomes in the last call. Now you're asking about strip clubs, and you got to take it one step at a time, man. Just think about what the next step. You're too afraid to go to the F close. Not the problem. The problem is you're thinking about how to go for the F close.
You're right. And it was like, I'm not sure what it is really, because I mean, I feel like we have a lot of keynote, we got a lot of rapport, ran the cube, did a really bad version of palm reading. I was just making it up on the spot. It was so crazy, but she bought it. So I guess it worked. Did so many routines, best friends test, nose wiggles, all that. We had a great time, had dinner, third date. And then I pretty much went back to New York City. So with Natalie, I should tell you about this chick, Natalie. I don't know if I told you about her in any of the emails or anything. But I met her at work, and she's adorable. She's blonde, kind of shy, and it was actually from my old job. And we just bumped into each other, and once I saw her, and I'm like, you know, I told her, what did I tell her? Something along the lines of, oh, my God, I feel like you've been following me lately, you know. What's up? And pretty much we kind of hung out. We made up plans for lunch. We met up later. I was like, you know, I'm going to watch a movie tonight. We saw Click. She was like, oh, you know, whatever. And she recommended Click. And I was like, oh, you know what? My roommate has that movie. You know what? You should come join. You know,
that could be a deal breaker right there.
What's up?
So that could be a deal breaker right there.
Is that a good?
No, it's Click. I don't know. Click was a good idea, but. Anyway, go ahead. I'm not going to diss out Sam.
So wasn't necessarily a good thing?
I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. So pretty much, I mean, we watched that during our second meet after lunch. We had we watched the movie Nomic Noise. Do you want to kiss me? And swimming for it. I did a really bad version of the evolution phase shift. I just smelled her hair, and I really wasn't sure what to do afterwards because I tried to like pull her hair back with other chicks, but I kind of messed up. It was like, ow, you know. So I really wasn't sure like if I should do that, or should I risk it or not, whatever. So I just didn't go for the full blown evolution phase shift. But I ran the cube and had the kiss closed. Day three had another makeout, and I just chickened out when it came to escalating to a more.
Right, so you probably not going for the F close. It's just kind of escalating sexually.
Right,
maybe through less lack of experience or something.
Right. I mean, I guess part of it was the fact that I didn't want to blow it, and I really wasn't sure where to take that because in the game I really haven't gotten like many F closes using the game skills of the game, so it's kind of really new to me. And at that point, I'm feeling like it's kind of, you know, what if I mess this up? I've gotten so far, and I'm not sure.
Once you start getting physical, that's the one place we definitely need to demonstrate confidence. You know what I mean?
Right.
So at least if you're not confident, act as if you are confident. You know, in other words, if you don't know how to take off a girl's bra, say take off your bra. Rather than fumbling around for a minute on a bra, you can just say take off your bra. That's going to demonstrate more authority than you fumbling with it for 5 minutes. So that's definitely a place where you do need to take control. So And I just think you need to learn more. You can also agree to sacrifice a few people to learn something. You can say, a friend of mine was telling me about pulling people's hair. That's like the best thing in the world. And guess what happened? I went on and did it to someone, and they said, ow. So when someone says they want their hair pulled, how do they actually want their hair pulled?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, blow a set to find out the answer.
Uh-huh.
That's how you find out things. And then they'll tell you that, how did you pull the hair out of curiosity?
Mm.
How did you pull the hair? Did you just grab her hair and pull it?
Oh, I sweat my fingers through the back of her hair, and I pulled down.
Right, did you go to the back of her hair with your fingers dragging along her neck?
In the back of her neck, yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of grab a clump as close to the roots as possible?
Yes.
And then you kind of just slowly pull it back so that it pulls her head back a little bit.
Yeah.
And firmly. All right, so maybe if you did that right, maybe that was a freak case.
Mm.
You know, but if you're not sure about something, again, even though I said to demonstrate authority, you can also say, well, I'm willing to risk this to learn something.
That's true. And it's funny you mentioned that, because, like, I mean, I was hanging out with Sneak the other day, and, before I came to Vegas, and he was like, dude, you got to push this. You got to push this. So he actually made me, like, go further. And ever since, I've been going 20% further. It's so true. It's just.
Yeah.
So crucial. I've been trying to do that. And it's funny because the more you do it, the more you realize, like, the more you get better at it, the more comfortable you get with all the things that were, like, 20%. That 20% that you push.
Right. So here's what you can do for the physical thing. For now, just develop, for now, just figure out the waypoints in your head. In other words, if you're going back to your house or your room or wherever you're staying, figure out, well, if we make out on the couch, once we're making out, you know, I'll tell her, I'll take off her shirt. Once I take off her shirt, I'll lead her by the hands to the bedroom. What's that? You know, just figure it out like a, you know, think of it like a play. Of course, things are going to go wrong in this play and objections will be thrown up, but, you know how to handle them, but at least kind of know what you're doing or where you're going to go next. And if you fumble a little bit, you know, just fumbling a little bit and you feel like you're fumbling, take a step back, you know, stroke her hair, look her in the eyes. Now, the cool thing about sex is you can go as slow as you want to go. Mm-hmm. Just don't go awkward. Don't make her uncomfortable. You can go as slow as you want. The slower you go, the better for her.
And I actually think that I kind of made it awkward.
Who goes fast? Slow it down. You're going to do better. You're going to get there faster if you slow it down more.
Okay. Awesome.
So in general, slow everything down. Slow down the way you speak. Slow down the way you move. Slow down the way you think. Slow down the way you are in bed. That's going to give you that extra sexual sort of charge. Go watch them, you know. Go watch The Sheik with, why did I just blank out his name? I'm going to get a million emails tomorrow saying who's in The Sheik, the great sex star. Rudolph Valentino. Or go, you know, watch The Sheik. Watch Pierce Brosnan movies. Try to model guys. What kind of slow-moving sexual guys? Because I know you. I've watched your approaches. The only mistake you made was being a little bit too hyper, which fits your name, hype, and a little bit too kind of in their face. So find some good models of kind of very guys who move slow and convey sexuality and model them in your head. And when you're trying to go at their speed and think and move at their speed, you'll probably end up going at normal speed. You'll think you're going excruciatingly slow, but you'll actually be going at a completely normal speed. Make sense?
Awesome.
All right, so let's go back to the club thing.
Okay, yes, the club thing.
You go to clubs. Does that help at all as far as pushing it further?
Mm-hmm.
So when you hit that moment you think it's awkward, you need that moment where you don't want to go. Don't break the connection with her. Just take a step back, stroke her hair, smell her, bite her neck, whatever it's going to be. But just kind of gather yourself. Because the fact is, in the moment anyway, you're going to be going two steps forward and one step backward. So you don't have to be pressing forward. Even if you are pushing it and going forward confidently, you're not taking that step backward anyway. It's not going to go as well. So if you're feeling like you're getting nervous or awkward or want to think about it, you know, take that step backward and don't break the connection.
Awesome. I will.
I'll actually go to the step of actually putting girls' clothes back on.
Mm-hmm.
Only even though I'll be removing them later.
Mm-hmm.
Just because these things are a nice way to kind of convey trust, convey that it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But anyway, congratulations. I think that's a cool story that you met this girl and you made out with her. I'm sure are you still in touch with her?
I haven't spoken to her because my life has been, like, so crazy right now. So I'm kind of, like, I've been in Vegas for the past, like, couple of days. Right. I'm kind of celebrating my 21st year and kind of going out, trying to start. And we haven't spoken like since then. And I didn't want to like call her from Vegas because, like, dude, why? You know what? It would be like conveying too much interest, maybe. Because I'm in Vegas, I'm here to party and have fun, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I mean, I agree with that, but now the fact we've already crossed the sort of physical border.
Right, right.
She's already shown her attraction to you and her interest in you.
True.
There's nothing wrong with, you know, if you don't call her every day from Vegas, you can call her once from Vegas and say, oh, man, I had an awesome time. I was just thinking about you the other day. I had a blast. Let me tell you about my birthday. Okay, got to run. My friends are telling me I got to go.
That's awesome. I'm totally going to do that.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, don't overthink stuff and be your own worst enemy about these things. A lot of guys learn rules, but don't understand why those rules exist. So what may be the rule at one point or the guideline, because there are no rules? What may be the guideline at one point in interaction does not apply once you get to a different phase with a woman. Those rules are thrown out and a new phase of rules comes in. So anyway, moving forward, you're allowed to show interest in her now.
Okay, so now I'll do that.
Right.
Cool. And, about the whole night game thing, man. I'm like, it's new to me, so I feel like I'm a lot more nervous than I normally am. And I feel like the energy is so high. Like, for example, I try to avoid the dance floor because I really don't know how to escalate dancing with a chick, like, at a club, or really how to open a set, because I feel like all the openers that I know how to use, all the openers that I've been using are good for more toned-down places. Like, I mean, I can say, like, oh, it looks like the party's over here, but afterwards, I really don't know where to take it because I can't really say, so how do you guys know each other right after that? And that's the skill set that I have. Right after the opener, I'd be like, so how do you guys know each other?
This may be another limiting belief. This is like, that shit is exactly what's done in clubs.
Really?
Exactly what's done in clubs. So the problem isn't the material, it's something else. Because clubs, just same old stuff. You roll in, be your opener, grab their interest, you got your waypoint, you know, how do y'all know each other, you grab some useful information if you need it, you move on with your DHV. It's the same old stuff. It just moves a little faster in the club and there's less sort of transitions. But you're a guy who moves fast anyway, so I doubt that your energy level is not right. So I think the only difference in a club is, you know, there's more competition, there's more distractions. Your A game has to be really on because you are probably missing, I'm going to guess, I'm just saying that you're probably in the club, you're probably missing the social proof factor, being this fun social center of the room.
That's definitely one of the things that is definitely, I think, hurting things. But, you know, I learned you got to blame yourself, you know. So if it's anything, it's you, not, you know, people around you.
Right.
You know? You can only
change. Yeah, exactly. I'll just change. Even though I probably use the word blame yourself, I'll say examine yourself. I'll just change that word a little bit. But go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah. So pretty much, I mean, do you have any openers that I can use? I mean, I tried that opener. Like, oh my God, that guy over there just like slapped me in the ass. What do you think of that? You know? And she just looked at me. She's like, all right, this is really weird. You know?
Right, dude. And it's not the openers, man. It's your liver. Yeah, the openers are fine. They're all great club openers. All the openers were invented in clubs, most of them. The girls fighting. I never heard the ass slapping opener, but I think that's kind of funny. You know, they're all invented in clubs. I think the problem is at least in that case, that you weren't really rooting the opener in a way that she believed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that, and she's like, "Why is this guy saying this to me?" You know, I think you maybe didn't follow up with the story or make it sort of credible enough. And my thought is, you're in a club, you're sort of intimidated, you know you got to approach, you're kind of running up and doing stuff, and it feels like a little random to them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Do you think it kind of feels random to them?
Yeah. Is there a way that I can make it, like, not random and make it flow more naturally so that...
Of course there is. Yeah, of course there is. So,
oh, yeah. No, I know there is, but I should ask, how can I do that?
So the problem is not your material.
Okay. It's delivery.
The problem is your state.
Okay.
So when you go in that club and all this stuff's going on, you think, I just got to run around and start approaching people. I think you, again, because your energy is very high, I'm guessing when you walk in with an energy level that's much higher than theirs because you're a little bit nervous. You're already kind of hyped up anyway. I think you got to watch, A, your body language. You know, I'm going to go through a few points and kind of a checklist and make sure you're doing these things.
Okay.
Here's the first thing you're going to do. When you walk in a club, find a safe set. Find a group that's easy to approach and probably wants a conversation. You know, maybe there's a couple older ladies there. Maybe there's a group of guys who look out of place. Just go fucking make some friends. Don't even worry about the women for now. Go and make some friends. That'll kind of get you at least feel like you know people in the club. So just find some people who look like they could use a friend and be their friend. You're doing a good thing for the people. And it's nice for you because you've got a safe spot to return to when you're not approaching people. Slow down a little bit. Don't feel because everything's high energy in the club. There's music. There's people running around. It doesn't mean you have to be bouncing around like a pinball.
Right.
So get comfortable. Get in your set. Get comfortable. Find the person you want to talk to. And even though you're going to have to be louder, even though you have to be a little bit of faster pace than one would normally be in the street, you know, you need to show confidence in yourself when you're saying these things. I got a feeling that because you're kind of moving fast, because you're nervous, you're not kind of showing confidence when you speak to them. They're kind of like, okay, who's this random person saying this stuff to me? So
slow it down.
So slow it down. Slow down your gestures. Speak loudly. Speak slowly. Slow down your gestures. Know that what you have to say is interesting. If they don't believe it's interesting, tell them why it's interesting. You know, oh my God, see that guy over there? Yeah, he just slapped me in the ass. What do you think that means? Does that mean he was like sexually attracted to me? Does that mean he you know, maybe I had like sat on something and he was actually helping me out? I should go give him a dollar or something. What is that? Why does a guy slap another guy in the ass when it's not actually a ball game? I've never heard that opener before in my life till you said it. But that's maybe the way that I would sort of say it. And then as soon as I get an answer or don't get an answer, bam, I'm on to my next thing. Oh my God, yeah, I just noticed something. I got to return to my friends, but just there was something kind of cool about you. And I don't know if it's cool, but it's interesting. I'll tell you, and then I got to run. Bam, you're in there.
Uh-huh. Okay. And after that, when I say, there's something really cool about you.
I just kind of threw that out, but whatever your DHB is, I wouldn't actually say something really cool about you. I'll just say, you know, I would observe something interesting about them that you would comment on or about the group dynamic. You can, that's the point where you would do, you know, the most common piece from the game, it would be the best friends test, and you guys will get to the, I don't think you guys have gotten to the course yet where I teach, there's like a course where I teach a bunch of little fun DHB stuff. You can even, you know, a lot of fun playful club games, such as, if you know Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great club game. Fuck, Marry, Kill is a great thing to do. So in other words, you do your opener. And if you just want a shortcut, all the material works in there, except the cube is a little bit long. Anything that takes long, intense focus, I wouldn't do. But it all works in there. So you can throw and say, you know what? I got to join one of my friends. I've never heard of this game, Fuck, Marry, Kill. We're playing it. And my friend actually, and explain it. And say, I got to run, but let's do a quick round. Then I got to rejoin my friend. Stop keeping me here.
Okay.
The idea is you got a busy social agenda in the club, and they're holding you up from it.
All right. Instead of the cube, do you think the ring finger routine would be better? Because it seems a lot quicker.
Again, I think the ring finger routine, a shortened version of the ring finger routine, is nice in the club. Again, you got to make sure everybody can hear you. But I think your problem, again, isn't material. You know the material.
Uh-huh.
Your problem is that your energy level is wrong compared to their energy level in the club and what they're looking for.
Uh-huh.
In other words, even if you do the ring finger routine, you're not hooking them. Your problem is that you're not hitting the hook point in the club because they're still a little bit like, okay, who is this guy here and what does he want from us? So you kind of have to get yourself rooted in the club. I just have this picture of you in the club that I know is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just need to get comfortable in the club. You need to just know that what you say is interesting. You need to make sure that they're kind of all hearing you and they're all interested. And you're the guy in the club who is like the manager. So maybe an exercise you want to do for yourself next time you go to the club.
Mm-hmm.
Is don't try and starve. Go around and make sure everybody's having a good time. Be in control. I think you're letting the environment control you, and you're not kind of controlling the environment. So go there. All the things you do, they all work in the clubs because they're not too long and too drawn out. So just go there, find some groups, make sure they're having a good time, and go around and just make sure everyone's having a good time. And don't go around hyperly doing it. Just walk around. Look like you own the place. Slow down. It's even cool to be alone. Just walk up to the table, everything taken care of, you guys happy? All right, good. Move through, just get comfortable in the environment. Just walk around and feel like, you know, this is my domain, this is my world. I'm the most interesting guy here. I take care of shit. People like me. Get comfortable there. get into the sink into the energy and the speed of it. And once you're there, then you can walk up to the table and maybe even someone you approach, and when you're open, it'll work just fine.
Awesome. I will do that tonight. Actually,
does that make sense? You think that hits the problem you were talking about?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Do you think that hits the problem that you were having or takes care of it?
I think it's probably maybe my energy level is a little too high, and I'm kind of like I was really random and I was a little insecure when I did that because it's not my comfort zone.
Yeah. And I think you're a little shifty when you're doing it. You're not really connecting with them. You're just kind of blurting it out and hoping it works. Like it's a magical form.
Yeah, like rather than letting it like kind of lay smooth and kind of flow, I kind of go boom, boom, boom.
I think you're throwing it out like it's a magical incantation rather than really connecting with the people. It's like a comedian on stage, you know, reading a script versus really telling you the material and making sure you're laughing and involved at it. So make sure
that's
involved and connected to what you're saying.
That's so awesome, man. Like, I never thought about that until, like, now, until you brought it up. So that's awesome. Okay. I think that's definitely going to help me a great deal with night game. I'm actually going to go out and actually follow your advice with just making sure everyone's having a good time. Like, maybe I'll say, you know, cheers. Like, how you guys doing?
Yeah, and just slow it down. Slow it down. Slow it down. You are the club manager, promoter, owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not the wild drunk guy.
Right. And I actually I always make sure not to drink anymore. Like on Thursday, I drank. I went to a club. I totally bombed.
Right. But hey man,
after
it's your birthday weekend. It's Vegas. You're allowed to do what you want. You don't have to hit it every night. You can just go have fun too.
True.
And also so good. Anyway, man, I really feel like you made a lot of progress. Anyway, the fact that you're trying to figure out how to get to second and third base, and now you're getting into clubs and figuring out how to work the clubs, man. I mean, I think you've gone pretty far as what your issues are now compared to what they were then.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. And I think we got one more person to talk to.
I think. Take care, Neil.
All right. See you, mate.
Thanks. That was great. I feel like I'm ready to go out and meet Mr. Wright. The Style Life Academy would like to thank all of you for participating in this teleseminar. For details on up-and-coming teleseminars, be sure to get on the mailing list at www.stylelifeacademy.com. Now go outside and make that cutesy smile.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Welcome to your Style Life Academy teleseminar, hosted by StyleLife.com. Your host today will be the man who earned the title of number one PUA 3 years running, Neil Shouse, a.k.a. Style, off of several popular, well-regarded books published on the topic of women, relationships, dating, pickup, and seduction. By speaking on this call or participating on this call in any way, you are agreeing to release all rights and grant permission to Style Life to use this recorded conference call or any part thereof for any purpose with no compensation due. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy headmaster, Neil Shouse, known to many of you simply as Style.
All right, do we have our fourth person here?
Hello.
Hey, man. What name do you go by?
Discover.
What do you go by?
Discover.
Discover, cool. All right, awesome, man.
Like the
and we talked a little bit before, but why don't you explain your issue? And I honestly don't know. I chose to speak to you because I don't, you know, yours is a new one. I don't know if I can actually even, you may need professional help. But let's see what's going on.
All right. So like the other day, last weekend I went out to this club and I had done the three stories that you told me about last time I talked to you.
Well, catch everybody up on the whole your situation.
Okay, well, pretty much when I can confront people fine. I can approach groups. I can talk to people. I can, you know, girls I have no problem talking to. But when I approach when I get more, like I feel like there's a connection going on, like it's going to go to that next level, an emotional connection, I become a mess. Like my throat starts choking up. I start getting a watery mouth. It even gets to the point, too, where it gets so worked up that I feel like I want to throw up.
Right.
That's mainly what I'm trying to trying to knock out here. That's my major sticking point right now. And that's kind of where the name came from, because I'm trying to discover what the problem is.
Right.
And this has been going on since my first girlfriend, which was when I was like 16.
Tell me how you first noticed it.
Well, it just came out of nowhere. Like, I met this girl at I was into rollerblading at the time, and I went to this like rollerblading rink thing, and I met this chick, and I got her number, and I went out and hung out with her, and then all of a sudden it came to that point where we started dating, and I went out to her house one night with a friend of mine, and I was talking to her on the porch, and you know, she came in to kiss me, and then all of a sudden this just like rush of emotions just happened, and that's when it first happened. That's the one and only time.
Explain the rush of emotion.
Like, I just, the tight throat, the, you know, what the hell's going on, all this stuff just started happening, and I actually, that was the first time I threw up at someone's house like that.
And did you, and how did you, where'd you go to, I mean, what, in, where'd you go to sort of do this?
We were on her front porch, and I just kind of leaned over, and I was like, you know what, this isn't working out, I feel kind of weird, so I went around the side of the house and I just threw up, and I came back and started talking to her. But, you know, I don't know what's going on, and I think I should just go home. And I went home, and then we kind of broke up after that because whatever reason. But the weird thing about it is, then I had another girlfriend where the same thing happened. And then after a week, like after all this stuff goes down, it completely goes away like it never happened. So it
happens initially on first contact, but if you stick with it, it goes away.
Right. But the whole thing is getting over that embarrassing, you know, that whole thing where you trying to get people to understand. I've even gone to the point where, like, yeah, I got this problem. You know, I start getting nervous, and I feel like I want to, you know, throw up when I get close to people. And they're like, oh, that's cute. But then it happens, you know, and then they're like, oh, my God, what the hell?
Right. Cool. And has it gotten any less or the same as you've gotten older?
Well, like I told you, I started taking that Relora stuff. It's like that natural anxiety stuff.
What's it called? I've never heard of it.
It's called Relora.
Huh?
It's like an herbal combination that helps like approach anxiety kind of things. Like a lot of when I started taking that is when I really started to be able to approach people without any nervousness at all. So
right.
Then I stopped taking it, and now I can do it fine. You know, now that I got that sense of okay. You know, like
right.
I can do it.
Right.
But it didn't get rid of what I wanted it to get rid of, which was that real intense.
Of course,
when
it deals with the symptom, it's not going to get rid of the cause.
Right.
And now, and also in your relationships with women now, you meet someone and you just kind of barrel through that weird part. You still slept with women and had relationships and stuff.
Right. I've like recently, I met a girl off of MySpace. You know, I talked to her for about 2 weeks. And I met up with her, and everything was cool because she was like, I just moved here. You know, I just want to be friends with some people. I had no problems. You know, we went out bowling, went out drinking, and then it got real heavy. We ended up making out. But then the next meeting I had with her, I knew that there was that connection. I was
okay.
Fine until I got to her house, and as soon as I saw her and she got in the car with me, it turned over.
Yeah, what happened? What exactly happened?
I just started getting nervous. Like, I tried to talk. You know, like I just try to get my mind off of whatever was going on in my head. When it starts to happen, I start thinking, like, why is this happening now? You know, why am I like this? Why is this happening? You know, that's what happens. It's not like, you know, you're an idiot. You're not going to end up getting with her. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. None of that stuff happens. It's like I get nervous, and then maybe I play it up too much. Like I'm expecting it to happen, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. And when it happened that one time after after I talked to you and Diego on the last conference, and I started making, and you told me to think of the three stories, you know, just have a conversation piece to back up on when that started happening.
Right.
And then I, you know, I kind of went into that. It took my mind off it, but I still had that feeling like it was still there. And then I got to where we were going to the restaurant, and I just had to bail. I was still talking to her about one of the stories.
Right. Cool, man. All right, so here's I'm gonna ask a couple questions, and I'm gonna give you my thoughts on this. So it's good. I mean, I really wanted for this call to get a real cross section of guys having different experiences, and I think you've managed to do that. You've rounded it out for us. I'm gonna ask you some questions. Let me know if you think they're true or not. Do you ever drink to get over your fears?
No, I started drinking.
That's good. That's. I mean, if you don't, that's great. Yeah. Do you ever like avoid the certain social situations, like you know, going to certain events or speech making or you know, going to clubs?
Since I started the Style Life Challenge, no.
Cool.
Before, yes.
Good. That's awesome, man. That is fucking great to hear. You know, do you flush, sweat a lot, tremble, or feel like you're going to be sick in other situations outside of this when you're with new people?
No.
You don't? Cool.
No.
If you're going to meet someone new, do you like, if you're, you know, let's just say that when you're meeting this girl from MySpace, we were worried or anxious before it, like for days, for a long time, or just normal?
No, actually, I instigated the, I was like, you know, we should get together and hang out.
Right.
And it took her a while to commit to that just from meeting new people. But.
Right. How strong is your kind of fear of embarrassment? So strong that you want to avoid certain things or meeting certain people?
No, I mean, for instance, the other day, just to elaborate on that, I was in the back of my truck and I tripped when there was like two or three customers around there. And I was like, well, you know, at least I walked it off. So I kind of played it off. And I think a lot of that happened from when I did the first 30 days Style Life Challenge. I got
right.
in on that.
Right.
And just that, you know, being around people and stuff like that, how to play things off. So now, no, not so much.
Right. All right. So, because the reason I was asking that question is I was trying to figure out whether you had, you know, social phobia of some sort.
Right.
And I actually don't think you do. But I do think you have, you know, and I'm curious what's your longest relationship been?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's your longest relationship been?
Let's see, probably 2.5 years.
Right. And was it, you know, were you healthy in this relationship? Was it okay? Did you have an intimacy fear or was it okay?
No, it was good. At the end, she cheated on me. It was my last high school girlfriend. She ended up cheating on me. And then I dated this other girl like a month after we broke up, but then I just broke it off because of the school and stuff like that. But
right. So you would say if you had to kind of look at yourself in a broad spectrum of guys, other than perhaps being a little bit shy, this moment when you're about to get physical with a girl when she likes you?
It's more about if I know, if I think it's going to get physical, not really that she likes me.
Right.
Because when like the last girl that I met at the club, I was cool until she wanted to get, you know, like I got in the car with her and her friends. It was just me, her, and her friends, and I had nobody like social around me that I really knew.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole ride there was just a pain.
Cool. And the last question I have for you, and then I'll kind of give you my thoughts on this. I just really want to make sure I'm assessing this stuff correctly. And you know, I have a short term thought and a long term thought on this. The last is. You can choose to share it or not, but I mean, are there other experiences you had when you were younger that would make you kind of scared of, you know, sort of physicality or intimacy?
No, I mean, I was in scouts, so I did a lot of the out, you know, talking in front of groups and stuff like that. I can't really think of anything that would have tripped that. Like I said, this whole thing just started with my first girlfriend.
Right.
It's really weird.
All right, cool. So generally, these are my thoughts. I was kind of asking these questions just to figure out, to kind of get an assessment. Again, I'm not, this advice, let's just say, for purposes just for entertainment, because I really am not a therapist, and this is obviously an issue that would require a real therapist. But my overall thought is, fortunately, you know, you don't seem to have any kind of major social disorder. You know, I think
right.
Basically what happens is you have a phobia, and you know, and you're a very phobia that came from a very good reason, because you had this experience. I mean, I remember, like, I was never scared of cockroaches at all. I didn't care, creepy crawlies or kind of cute stuff. And one day I think my mom had caught in her air conditioner like this giant fucking roach. It was like huge, like she was just freaking out, and I saw this thing and I like almost felt like I wanted to be ill. And from then on, I was actually scared of roaches.
Right.
It was like that thing just imprinted on me so strongly that I remember to this day. Strangest thing I remember to this day, and since then I had this sort of fear of roaches. I get kind of nauseous when I see a roach, and I've kind of gotten over that through living in an apartment in New York and lots of exposure to roaches. But you know, it was true for a long time. And I think obviously, and anyone who's listening knows this, that obviously that being about to become, you know, going through puberty, working up to the big moment, and being so nervous and so much anxiety about the big moment. Of course, like when you're gonna, I mean, I remember my first time making out, my first time having sex, or I've been thinking about them for longer than you have, for years and years and years, and playing it out, that I was so nervous. And of course your stomach's going to tighten. Of course, when you're nervous and stressed, you're going to get a physiological reaction, because you had an extreme physiological reaction. It probably really gave you a lot of kind of doubts about yourself. And out of curiosity, after this experience happened with this girl, when was the next time you kind of successfully made out with somebody?
That was the last one after the MySpace. It's been like,
no, your first experience as a child.
Oh, the first, like my first girlfriend?
Yeah, how long did you kind of barrel through, and did you eventually things get normal with her?
The first one was kind of innocent, you know, I just made out with her and stuff like that. The second girl was the one where we make out and we kind of went a little step further, and then the one in high school is the one where I actually had sex for the first time.
So how long between the kind of messed up one and the next one, how much passed, like a day, a month, a year, 2 years?
First one was probably like 6 months, and then I met this other girl. I dated her for a year and a half, and then we broke up, and then I had a girlfriend within the next week, and I dated her for 2.5 years.
Right.
And then we broke up, and then I got a girlfriend within a month after that, and I dated her for like 6 months.
Dude, you're doing great. Good for you, man.
So,
you're doing awesome. So the fact, so to me, it's just a matter of you got this bad image and this bad feeling in your head. You have this association, which is the association with that first thing of intimacy is of this kind of horrible, embarrassing failure with this physiological reaction. And the goal is, and you know, Diego maybe can hop in on here too, because he has some NLP experience, but I wouldn't even begin to take you through a phobia cure, because there are very simple, not simple, but there are phobia cures that work very nicely. And you might want to pick up that book, Introducing NLP, if you haven't read it. You may want to pick that up and read about this sort of 5-step phobia cure, or even look it up online, and at least give it to yourself a little bit and just see if that helps a little bit. It's not going to cure it, to be honest. You need professional help to cure it, or you need a lot of experience, like my New York apartment full of roaches. You need to have this experience over and over and over again until you know you're successful. You
yeah.
replace the bad images with good images, because this thing is like printed on you, and it makes sense that it's imprinted on you. It's like the most common thing ever. If some weird thing happens to somebody during their first sexual experience or their first experience of intimacy, that thing becomes a pattern. It could turn into a weird fetish. It can turn into a negative behavior. It can turn into a weird reaction. So the first thing is, you know, it's completely normal. It's like if you saw Jaws when you were a kid, you know, then you might be scared to get in the ocean. You know it's completely irrational. There are no sharks around. You still got the Jaws image and you're scared to get in the ocean. So that's all that's going on. And in the big picture, you know, the way to get over this is to, you know, make that an isolated case and a small, in other words, any NLP person will tell you that you have to replace the bad images with the good images. So I'm going to let you read about it because I'm not an expert. I don't want to give the advice, but obviously whenever you think about that situation, you know, make it black and white, make it very distant image, make it blurry, make it fucked up. Start trying to eliminate that picture from your head. And when you're thinking about women and making out with women, I'm sure something one thinks about often, you have to think of yourself like an athlete. You have to play the success scenario in your head. And I can, you know, when you talk, it's interesting talking to you because I'm thinking about all kinds of ways. The same thing has happened to me in different ways. For example, I used to be really good at diving. Like I even used to be I used to be great at doing inverted flips and reverse flips. But one day, like, I just went to flip and I went off to the side. Like, I couldn't flip straight. Like, in my head, I just started going off to the side. Like, it was weird. I couldn't flip anymore because I just veered off to the side and I couldn't flip straight. And that button just kind of clicked. And the more I thought about it, the more I rehearsed that scenario in my head. And to get over it, I had to do what it's like an athlete does, which is you keep imagining the success in your head. You make that picture bright. You make it loud. You make it colorful. You make it vibrant, until eventually your positive picture outweighs the negative picture. And until you actually think about intimacy and you think about making out with a girl, and you don't think about getting sick, you're not thinking, I don't want to blow it. You're not thinking, I don't want to do this. But you're thinking, man, I just want to, like, it's going to be a great makeout. You know? So I think that it's just simple, psychological imprinting, and you have to get rid of that imprint and replace it with a positive image. And you probably won't be able to do that by yourself. I would go like make a session with a therapist who helps people get over phobias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure you think about and get rid of all the images, even get rid of the image of South Park of the guy who vomits when he is about to kiss the girl. Because you probably think you're Stan in your head. You know,
yeah.
So you have that Stan image going there as well as your own image. So you really, you know, you have to get rid of those. And the other way to get rid of them, obviously, is to fucking put yourself through the experience over and over again, you know, a little more successfully each time.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
Or one of the roaches be like, I'm going to go out tonight, and my goal tonight is to make out with 10 girls. I remember when I was trying to get over my fear of doing the kiss thing. I'm like, I'm not going to do opener. I'm not going to read my openers. I'm going to just go for it with 10 girls. Whether it happens or not, I'm just going to fucking go for it. You know, saturate yourself with it and see how that goes.
Okay.
So I'd be curious to see how it goes. In other words, if in your phobia situation, they sort of have the control. It's like, oh God, I'm going to kiss him. Is it going to work out? Is it not? Am I good or not? But if you're sort of, you know, sort of in full control before they're even attracted to you, and even if you get the rejection, it doesn't matter. Just kind of go for it. So you keep crossing that physical gap over and over again until it's not a big concern for you. We're going to go in for the girl. You're thinking about that last girl you tried to kiss in the club, and it was like, what are you doing? Instead of thinking about actually getting sick. Because even those small rejections are going to be better images. So, in fact, what I would do also is, and you're going to have to blow some stuff to do it, instead of waiting until that attraction happens, because I know that feeling of attraction. I know when it's time to make out with a girl, I'm like, I feel like a physiological change when it's time for it to happen. Like, I feel it. And that physiological change, it used to be like, make me nervous and scared. Now, instead, that physiological change means it's time to go for it. Start making that move before you feel that attraction. Even if you blow it.
Yeah.
Start doing the evolution phase shift. And just think, I'm just doing this for fun. Let's see what happens. Don't think I'm trying to make out with her and get somewhere. Like, I'm just going to throw the evolution phase shift after the opener and see what happens. It'll be funny. And don't get too into it. Stay a little disconnected from it.
Right.
Just like in the NLP images that you want to disassociate from the images, like when you see yourself having this bad situation, watch it from the outside, like a third party viewing it. And when you're imagining your successes, you know, watch it from the inside through your own eyes. I realize I'm spitting a lot of information out at you, but I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah, that's cool. I really appreciate the advice, you know.
And I've got one other thought for you on it.
Okay.
Next thing, let's just say that in the short term, besides just making physical moves before you feel the physiological feeling of attraction, I mean, I really think that's going to be key to getting you past this. The other thing is you've developed your own coping strategy. Your coping strategy is you admit the problem and you barrel through and you stick with it and you do it. I think that's like fucking admirable. A lot of guys who are in your situation would either A, not approach women, B, just stop having sex or getting intimate with women. So the fact that you have had all these relationships and these girlfriends and barreled through that uncomfortable week and did it, like, that's an amazing success strategy. Like, that's the kind of guy who, like, is a winner. It's, like, phenomenal. It's really fucking cool. That you, like, really, it bothered you, it disturbed you, you're working on it, but you haven't let that hold you back. And for any of the guys listening who have their own bullshit reasons for not approaching or not making a move, like, the fact that even though you know that you're going to vomit, you actually are going to fucking go in there anyway and play the game, you're maybe even going to get sick, and you're still going to barrel through and end up being with that girl. So, I mean, thinking that makes anyone's problems seem pretty pale, and it sounds like you've had an amazing amount of success. So in the short term, the other thing you can do is figure out your coping strategies, figure out, as you're getting over it, it's still going to happen, it's not going to disappear right away. It might take a month, it might take 6 months, it might take a year, it might take a couple years. In the meantime, it's going to happen, so you have to develop your coping strategies, which you kind of have. You accept that this is something, a problem, and you do little things to minimize it. In other words, once you feel attraction, you go into your scripts of routines and things to actually do. Do your storytelling, do your stories that you run, do your you know, the evolution phase shift, do your pre-script stuff that'll get your mind off it. You know, if you're going to do it, if you feel like you're going to be sick, then you have your excuses for doing it. So you're like, you know what, I drank too much, I'm gonna step away, or whatever your excuses are. Figure it out like a contingency. In other words, if you sort of, as you're getting rid of this, you accept that it's sort of a, like you're kid who's growing, and you're about to be 6 feet, but right now you're only 5'6", and all the girls are taller in school. But you still want to be with them. So you have to deal with the fact that you're a little shorter, so sometimes you'll be sort of sitting down with them doing things that compensate for your height. It's a bad metaphor. I'm just throwing it out. The idea is you're growing and you're growing out of this. In the meantime, it exists, and rather than denying it or being angry about it, you develop your coping strategies, which are having something to say and something to do, pretending like you're going to be sick for another reason to barrel through it. You know, maybe it takes three times of being intimate to get over it. How many times do you think? Three?
Oh, how many times has it been?
No, in other words, if you're with a new girl, how many times does it take before you don't feel ill?
Oh, at least after we get past, yeah, probably about three times. Third time's
right.
Charm, usually.
Right, so, you know, it takes three times. So you come up with your sort of like excuse or your strategy to get past each one till you get to the fourth. It's almost like your own LMR that you have to deal with. So you've got to figure out your strategies to get yourself past that point and to get her past that point.
Okay.
So does that make sense?
Right. So maybe I should aim for making it a two-step process instead of a three-step. Try to keep that in my head, too.
Right.
You know?
Right. So just to summarize, and even though I think I summarized twice, three things you can do, and I would recommend doing all three of them. On the macro level, you know, go to a therapist or go to a hypnotherapist or go to an NLP guy or go to somebody who specializes in curing phobias. Because that's all it is. It's just a bad image that's been imprinted on you. Step two is, you know, give yourself your own phobia cure. You know, if you're scared of water, you know, there's only so many times you can jump in a pool and realize it's okay and jump in the pool and realize it's okay until you're not scared of water anymore. So give yourself the immersion technique. A lot of guys who teach you how to overcome phobias, they put you in the most exaggerated, worst version of your phobia till you get over it. It's a controversial and popular treatment. But in the meantime, start having the experience of getting physical with someone without the stress factor of her attraction and throw yourself in there a lot so you can actually separate it. And then the third thing is develop your coping methods, accept that this is a part of your reality, and then figure out the routines to cope with it. Cool?
Okay. Yeah,
help?
Cool. Yeah.
All right, man, it's been fun, and let me say goodbye to the guys. So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this call. Every time I do these special coaching calls, I'm going to pick different guys each time, and I'm always going to pick a wide range of guys from a wide range of different places. So I hope it's been fun for you guys to hear the coaching calls. I hope that four people I talked to, I gave you stuff that you can go on and use and get to the next level and will really not just change your game, but hopefully change, you know, your lives and the way you see women. And next call, make sure you're on the next call, man, because I got a really special guy on the next call. He really is he's got a lot to offer. It's really original stuff. He's one of the characters in the game, and he's someone who most people have never met or talked to and has some really, really, really powerful stuff. He's really an interesting guy. So I'm going to send you guys out the announcement about that. And check the next newsletter for some of the openers. For the opener, if you want an original opener, no one knows about. And also, the theme of the next newsletter is about being cool and ideas about how to be cool and how to make your most uncool side turn it into your kind of coolest asset and feature. So, anyway, I enjoyed this. I will see you guys in the academy and have a great Saturday. Go out and have fun tonight. Bye, guys.
Thanks. That was great. The Style Life Academy would like to thank all of you for participating in this teleseminar. For details on up-and-coming teleseminars, be sure to get on the mailing list at www.stylelifeacademy.com.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.